Welcome back to Soccer Cards United. It's episode 223 of the greatest soccer card podcast in the world. My name is Jason. That's Enzo. Hi, Enzo.
Hey, Jason.
Sorry, yeah, excuse me. I got a frog in my throat there for a second. I wasn't just getting emotional introducing this episode of the podcast. You had a little trip this weekend.
Yeah, I ventured out, Jason. I ventured to London. I did a one-dayer so as I could attend the London Card Show as, for the first time ever, as an attendee, not a vendor.
Usually we're there, three Soccer Cards United tables.
Three Soccer Cards United boys.
Yeah, you know, slinging the cards, slinging the
working
wax.
Working hard, buying cards, flipping cards, selling cards, talking about cards, rejecting cards when people try to sell them to us sometimes.
But then, this time you said, I'd just go for a walk around.
Yeah, it was a totally different experience. It was completely opposite. I felt a bit like naked a bit at the time. I kind of felt like I didn't have the protection of my table. I didn't have like a home base to kind of wander to. I was kind of just wandering around a little bit, but I had no shortage of friendly faces, so that helped.
Yeah.
It kind of caught me up a little bit because there was a lot of people I didn't talk to, a lot of tables I didn't even see, I don't think. And because I was just chatting the whole day, I was kind of having the crack. So even my ability to pick up as much things as I wanted to pick up was actually reduced because the day was over before I was ready to dig in. Because anytime I went to a table to pick stuff up, I was in conversation, in chats. I went out to get some lunch, a little bit of food in the old food trucks that were there. Classic chicken tenders and chips, the best thing you can get over there at the London Card Show. Yeah. And the sun was out as well, so I was sitting outside. I ended up out there for like an hour just because it was like a rotating, revolving door. It was just different person sitting down. Then out there, I have to go, and someone else sat down. It was just, it's like I was taking meetings.
Yeah, you step into my office here.
Yeah, it was brilliant in the sun. Like, you just can't beat it. So, yeah, I had a good time. It was quite the experience to be an attendee versus a vendor. And so much going on, by the way. Like, in terms of hosting the show, Harry's doing such a good job because, like, whether there's a kid zone, a retro gaming zone, a trade area, over like he had, there was a signings. There's so much activities happening on the day that I think, like, if you're like a family or something, you have some younger kids, maybe you're probably having an absolute ball with all of the non-card stuff. Not even to mention the cards.
Yeah, a great day out, would you say?
Yeah, and all the Americans were over this time around, so we got to chatting to some of them. It was funny. The Americans were all put on the one island. You know where they kind of do different islands. And you could tell which island was the American island from a mile away because the American island had all the content going. They had the big cameras ready to go, content happening,
recording
every, you know, transaction, every interaction, so they can obviously do their vlogs and stuff.
Yeah,
and get their money's worth out of making such a trip over and kind of getting good content to show back home, which is wonderful for the hobby over in the UK. But it was funny to see that the cameras were on at all times. I ended up in a conversation with someone where I had to tell his cameraman that I turned this off. I was having a bit of a. I was like, no, this part's not content, my friend.
Yes.
Knock that off, please. This is a private conversation.
This is off the record.
Off the record. This is very off the record. But yeah, no, it was brilliant. It was brilliant. It was a brilliant show. I had a fun time. And yeah, just obviously being in Ireland, very handy to be able to do a one-dayer.
Yeah. Couple of, but by the way, you did a one-dayer on a Saturday, but you could do a nice weekend there, of course, where you stay for the trade night and go the next day as well.
I could have done that, to be honest, because I was leaving, right? When I was leaving the show, saying goodbye, I said goodbye to Harry. I was outside, and the sun was out. The show was just about over. People were saying, let's get pints, and it was such a day for pints.
Yeah.
And like Harry said to me, you sure you don't want to just change your flight? And I was like, honest to God, oh, I'd love to. And it's like, I also felt like I would have had a good time walking around on Sunday trying to see the things I missed or whatever, you know, different vendors and stuff like that. So, handy to be able to do a one-dayer. I think we kind of, our schedule's been a bit crazy, so we just kept it at one day, but I kind of, like, if you go that far, you should probably do the 2 days, do you know?
Yep. Obviously, it's a different, trade nights are different, and we get this a little bit, like, at the National and stuff, which is in, you know, July, where it's like, trade nights are quite nice on warm summer evenings. Trade nights are a different prospect when it's like, oh God, the show's over, I have to go try and get something to eat or something, or go back to my hotel or whatever, and it's freezing cold, and I'm carrying this, you know, Zion case in my hands, I'm freezing. And it's, and then I got trudged back. Oh my God. But when it's a lovely kind of balmy evening, you feel like you could just bop around and stand on the, you know, stand outside the show, chat to someone for 40 minutes quite comfortably, as opposed to like, let me get out. It's cold.
You know, the weather kind of added to the vibe of it for me. And I was sad to leave because I was on my way to get a taxi to the airport instead of negging a few pints.
Yeah.
You know, it would have been nice. Although trying to do trade night after a few pints, you might make a few mistakes.
That's right. Yeah. That's what they want. People keep buying you drinks. Yeah, have another drink and then come over and show me your cards that's trade.
Your messy rookie. I got to see a messy BGS 9.5 mega cracks with unbelievable subgrades. I think
hey, you don't see that every day.
Yeah, I think 3 9.5 subgrades and a 10.
Wow.
So you could cross that over, let me tell you. It was the first time PSA were at the show. They had a really big kind of stand similar to what you kind of see at the National. Like they really had a presence.
They were taking submissions.
Yeah, they had a kind of a special. I don't think they valued the special very well. So I think, I don't know. But Golden were also there. I will say that they did not have a good showing.
Yeah, not their first time at the show.
No, I think they need to do more. I think they're kind of resting on the fact that they have a Netflix, a daytime Emmy award nominated.
Oh, you get one daytime Emmy nomination and all of a sudden you're too good to...
You think you just show up and get the job done. It's like, you still need to put in the hours, put in the work, get your job done. Obviously, they're kind of just high-end thinking we're expecting someone to pop up with a high-end card and we can do what we do best.
Is that what they're expecting? Like, what is the expectation there when you decide to go and advertise Golden at a European card show?
If I'm Golden and I'm trying to advertise to Europeans, I'm probably, on one end, I want to catch people that have some high-end collectibles that could get them in front of the eyes that Golden get them in front of. But probably one of the reasons they're probably jumping out is to try promote the marketplace that they have.
Right.
So they obviously have a marketplace. Yeah. They have, I suppose it's also a bit of a vault. It's Golden Vault, right?
Well, they had that thing with eBay where they're switching.
Yeah, they're swapping, whatever. So yeah, I don't know. I think they have stuff to promote, but I just don't think they have the infrastructure over here. I think that's the hardest thing. Like, we want the kind of American hobby businesses to come over to Europe and represent, but like, if they don't have an actual presence over here, as you know yourself, Jason, it'd be very hard for us to go to America and set up a table the same way we set up a table in Ireland or in the UK.
Exactly. Yeah. And so it's like you need a supply line. You need to have your infrastructure
home base over there or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. So I don't fully blame them, but it's also like, for me, find a different way to do it, because it's obviously good to see them there present promoting. And, you know, the staff that are there obviously kind of like, listen, we're doing this, whatever. But it's like, I don't know, make it more fun. Don't go straight corporate. We're still having a bit of fun over here.
Right. Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
And I understand.
It's more grassroots in Europe than it is in...
Yeah, like normally at the National, they have a great setup, to be fair to them. But a part of their great setup is some very expensive cards that are obviously, you're not sending them to the UK, etc. So yeah, it's a bit tough. I think it's like teething issues, and they kind of decided... To be there is better than not be there, but maybe that's not necessarily correct.
I think whenever we've done any kind of and I know that other people have as well, but whenever we've done any kind of press, like, you know, newspaper or radio or TV or whatever, about trading cards in Ireland, people are always very, very interested to kind of like the sort of cash in the attic angle. Like, you know, like, are you telling me if I had a 1970 sticker from XYZ, then I could earn this? And even though we kind of always try and steer the conversation back around to like, yes, that would be vintage, and if it was stuck in X, you know, whatever. But this is like still happening. There are new products being released. We grade the cards and we try and explain every kind of nuance of it. But they still really are very interested in that. Like, so you mean that someone at home watching this right now could have all of this valuable stuff that they left in their parents' house when they were a child and not even know it? And people will, you know, like, family members or friends of friends will say, like, I actually have a 2004 Ronaldo match attacks. Like, is that worth anything or whatever? I think there's an opportunity for a high-end auction house, whether it be Golden, whether it be PWCC, whether it be Heritage or Pristine Auctions or whatever it is, to take advantage of that and say, like they did on the Golden King Collectibles show, we're going to send people to the UK, to Ireland, to France, to Spain, to Portugal. We're going to go look for the Messi rookies, and we're going to go look for the signed Pelé jerseys from a friendly in London in 1968 or whatever. And we're going to kind of make like big news over there, because you can get like press to say, oh my God, this American auction house came over to Europe, found this guy, and then made him 50 grand, and now he's gone on a cruise around the world or whatever. Like, that feel-good story is there to be done, because people don't, they kind of need to be led by the nose. They're not necessarily going to just turn up to you at the London Card Show and say, I found this in my garage. Here you are. You know, you have to go into the garage and knock down a door.
Yeah, that what you're saying, you want season 3 of King of Collectibles to be based on this side of the pond?
I think so, yeah.
And you want to be featured in it? Is that what I'm hearing?
I don't have to be featured in it. I mean, I could certainly consult on it.
Oh.
I wouldn't mind being having my name etched on that daytime Emmy. I'll tell you that much.
What an experience!
But picture this: season 3 opening of King of Collectibles. Right, drone shot of the Eiffel Tower, right? You're going all
that's
around.
That's not an opening scene. The opening scene is Ken stepping onto a private jet.
No, wait, hang on. I'm doing a cold open.
Off. Sorry.
So you go, the Eiffel Tower, the Arc de Triomphe, all the stuff. All of a sudden, boom, the drone comes down onto the Champs-Élysées. Ken standing there in a stripy top with a beret carrying a baguette and goes, it's time for season 3. And this time we're in Europe. And then you do the private jet bit. Then you go to like the opening.
Oh my goodness.
That's what you need.
Yeah, that right. Like, if they don't win the daytime Emmy, they should chat to you because I reckon you could get one in their hands.
Yeah, listen, you know, you fine. If you want to just get nominated for a daytime Emmy,
do whatever you need to do.
But if you want to beat Oprah,
if you want to win,
you want to win.
Gotta talk to you. That makes sense.
That's right. So listen, great. I'll tell you this, a little trading card story of my own from this weekend.
Okay.
I was in the wonderful medieval city of Kilkenny over the weekend. And I was there to see a Bruce Springsteen concert. I was wondering
which concert, like when he comes to Ireland, he tends to do 5 shows in a row. So which day did you hit him at? How many times had he done it?
He was doing, while he was here, he was doing Belfast, Dublin, Cork and Kilkenny. So I saw the Kilkenny show. He's only doing one, I think.
One day in each venue. Wow.
Yeah. That could be wrong, but I think that's right. And I was wondering what the merch situation was for this tour before I got to the, because I'm a big fan, before I got to the show, I went onto the website, the merch website, and there were trading cards for the tour. Let me show you this. Let me see if I can find this.
Bruce Springsteen trading cards.
Yeah, it was, they're actually not personalized, but they're
commemorative.
Commemorative for the individual show. Exactly, yeah. So let me show you this. So there's the show that I saw. Kilkenny.
That's in a top loader.
It's in a top loader, yeah.
Wow.
And it says the set list on it. So I'll show you the one from, I think, Cardiff. Is it? Well, that has like that. No, that's the whole tour. That has like all the tour dates on it. But yeah, top loader with the set list, all that stuff. Quite exciting.
I see a top loader and I am impressed. I won't lie.
Yeah, I mean, at least you know enough to know to.
Yeah, someone has actually given good advice, I think, there to Mr. Bruce.
Yeah, look at that on the back.
All right, relax. I like the kind of border at the front. That's kind of like vintage baseball style, and it also shows if you want to grade it, you might struggle to get your PSA 10 if that centering is not good. So did you buy a card?
No, not yet. I'm going to.
Okay.
But yeah,
I reckon his rookie card was made in like 19. 10.
I wouldn't be 1910, but it would be not far off. Who knows what his rookie card is? Now you've sent me down a rabbit hole. God
yeah,
damn
listen,
you.
Listen. No, we have a podcast to do.
All right, fine. So yeah, they are
wonderful. I hope you had a wonderful weekend, Jace.
It was very nice. Yeah, very nice.
I was in London working for the business. A big resentment comes up. I had to go to London and I get a free flight. And
meanwhile, I'm swanning around Kilkenny.
Yeah, Bruce Springsteen wasn't in London. Yeah. Although we had Emil Heskey, so...
So listen, you know? Listen.
No, it's good. You need to stay... We have a big summer ahead, so you need to... Where you can, you need to kind of stay fresh.
Stay loose, yeah.
But you're kind of lucky that I didn't know where you were going, because people were asking where you were, and I said, I don't know, there's something... He's busy, and so we decided not to vent that I'm coming. But I'm not sure what he's doing, but he's busy somewhere in Ireland. And they were like, all right. Now, if I said Bruce Springsteen, that would have been... And they're going back and forth. There would have been loads of stuff going on. And I would have been none the wiser, I'd have been lost because I wouldn't have got the references and all. It would have been crazy.
Yeah.
We got lucky there.
We got lucky. We dodged the bullet. Tomorrow, we have a whole series of releases, including La Liga Select and Panini Donruss Soccer, which is a delayed release, and Top's Finest is dropping as well. But people couldn't resist ripping Donruss earlier. And then the release date.
I'll never understand that.
Very strange. And how did it end up in some people's hands and not others? Why was it delayed and all that stuff?
Not even that. It's like, how do you have a supply chain either directly to a manufacturer or via someone else who's directly via manufacturer and not have the kind of the class, Jason, the class to wait for release date? Do you mean I don't understand?
Who is in that part of the Venn diagram who is in the position to rip it early but still does?
Yeah, it doesn't have the wherewithal about it or the wit or whatever self-respect to just wait for release day. Like, you get so giddy, like, oh, I'm going to go live and everyone will care about me for a few minutes. And
yeah,
even though, like, you're the person who sold it to is going to give you a slap across the face. You're going, I paid for it, I can do what I want. And it's like, I don't know. It's just, it's shocking that there are immature people out there. However, despite that feeling,
mm-hmm,
I'm delighted to get these early looks.
Yeah, I mean, on the one hand, it's like, it gives us something to talk about in the podcast. We wouldn't have any images if they weren't.
I just kind of like, I think sometimes we get products early, it's not very often, in fairness, because we're based in Ireland. But like, I would never do it. I would never be like, I kind of, there's blissful ignorance to it, I suppose. I'll just go live and I'll just get this done. I'd be sweating, but I suppose it's different.
But you do kind of, maybe if you're a breaker, you know, and you're like, maybe if you're not the biggest breaker in the world, and you don't, you know, you're still in your kind of customer acquisition phase and all that stuff. True. And you think, I'll steal a march. It's, as you would call it, it's outrage marketing.
That's true. People are looking for the product. If you're the only one opening it,
I'd be the first one. Under normal circumstances where these lot have it and they have it and all this stuff, they'd never give me a look in. So, you know.
Fair.
Could be a strike for the underdog breakers out there, or it could be a classless move that's very disappointing. Who knows?
Who knows? But the one thing we're happy about is we got this early look, this first look.
Yeah. And thankfully, Super Lucas here, at Super Lucas on Twitter, was showing us loads of hits, was monitoring all the... what are you laughing at?
Because he follows us, you don't follow him, but you're about to go, this fella puts up really good content. This fella's brilliant. And you're still not enough to hit that button up there in the top right corner, Jason. And I tell you this, what we're putting out on Twitter is not worthy of his follow, as far as I'm concerned.
I could have sworn I came across this before and I meant to follow it, but then I obviously decided against it.
Right there. It's on. It's for, if anyone that's watching right now, we're on Super Lucas's Twitter account. It says he follows you with that little like logo thing. Jason's ready to go through it and give us big in-depth on how brilliant this fella's tweets are. And in the top right-hand corner, it doesn't say following, it says follow.
No, I'll tell you this, right? Actually, I remember now what happened. I talked him back to me.
And while you're there... No, talk.
I was on Super Lucas's feed. I said, this is brilliant. We'll definitely use this for the podcast, because it's becoming up in the algorithm so good now on Twitter. You know, it's been coming up in my... It's
brilliant. Yeah, you're not feed. Getting crazy fucking people dying. That's what I get on Twitter.
Yeah, it's mostly snuff videos, yeah. But I clicked on Super Lucas and I thought, I got to follow him here. This is highly embarrassing to be kind of using all the source material and not following. And then I saw 908 followers, 197 following.
Mm-hmm.
So he has 900 followers. He's only following 200 people.
And
so
we're one of them.
Like he's, yeah, but...
He's putting out good content, so he's gaining his followers. He's not following everyone that follows him. That's not what I'm saying to do. I'm saying if his content's good enough to feature on our podcast, mm-hmm, he's worthy of a follow. And if you look in the top right corner, you might like, there's another one there that follows us, Momolas, a man that sent us to Silverstone for free on the strength of it. What are you doing on this Twitter account, Jason? Can you follow both of these gentlemen right now? And I feel like there's various others that also deserve our follow. Not that our follow's worth that much, but Jesus Christ, have a bit of self-respect.
All right, okay.
I want two followers there.
I thought we were being...
Because I think you follow these two people, our Twitter feed might get better. That's what I'm saying.
But they're already in the feed.
No, I know. That does cause confusion. You're like, oh, we see Mom Alice's tweets. What's the problem? Da, da, da. I don't care. But hit them with that follow. Be respectful. Come on.
All right. So, Super Lucas, congratulations. You got the follow from Zucker tonight on today's show. This was all worth it. What I was going to say was, we got very excited in the last episode about numbered kabooms. And then it turned out they weren't so exciting after all. Do you want to tell us, using this Kylian Mbappe, why that is?
Yeah, so someone in Panini doesn't like soccer, for sure. And basically they've had, instead of one kaboom text, they have two kaboom texts now. And if it's a gold of 10, one of those kaboom texts are in gold versus the whole card being this beautiful, amazing gold that we normally see with kabooms. I can honestly say I seen the first image of this at the London Card Show, and so I got to use that image and show, I'd say, about 7 different people, because again, this set shouldn't be out yet, so like I was kind of breaking the news to a lot of people, including our good friend Brian at Sunday League Investors. He was one.
He was devastated. And
when I tell you, it was as if I told someone, you know, a beloved figure in the footballing world had died. That was the phase. Like, everyone literally, it wasn't even like anger, it was just literally, oh fuck.
Yeah.
Some of them were definitely like, oh, fuck, I bought into brakes and this looks shit. Oh, no. But like a lot of it was just like, this. It was the kind of disappointment. It was like, we were actually probably one of what would have been the most exciting set of cards that would have been released this year in soccer was Gold Kaboom.
Yeah.
And the Black Kaboom, which could have been a Green Kaboom, whatever. Numbered, colored, full color Kabooms were probably the most exciting things. And like, I look at that Kylian Mbappe. If that was a full gold Kylian Mbappe, and you can say whatever about the image of the Kaboom, because a lot of people are complaining about that, that they're kind of just casual shots. They're not kind of Kaboom shots. That looks brilliant, by the way. Huge difference, huge difference. A lot of people are like, I don't know, you look at that Mbappe, Jason, if it was a full gold, I think the multiplying factor value-wise, I think is actually like a full figure. Like, I think it's a 2x, a 3x, a 4x, a 5x. Like, I do think that's the level of financial difference that will be seen. So like, they've literally just, for the sake of just making it normal and making it the way they did with basketball the year, for the sake of that, they have devalued the kind of ceiling of this product's singles for no reason. Like that Endrick, I don't want to like go out on too crazy of a limb, but like a gold Kaboom Endrick probably has the potential to be a six-figure card in soccer, not immediately, but I mean long, long term.
Yes.
Should it, like, say Endrick goes on to have an incredible career, like a crazy, crazy, crazy amazing career.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's like, oh, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, there was a gold Kaboom. Like, it had that potential, and how they look now with just the gold text, it does not have that potential at all. Do you know what I mean? That's how kind of,
yeah, no, I agree. It's completely lowered the ceiling on this product, lowered the ceiling on the hype for this product. And it's like, Panini don't have this many lives to be using up.
Mm.
You know, you would think like, kind of, if you're Panini, you're kind of thinking like, right, you know, this is serious. You know, we're getting kind of beaten on all fronts here. We need to make sure that for the next 10 or 20 or 30 or 50 things we do, we have to, it has to be all wins. You know, it's squeaky bum time at Panini.
Honestly, the reason I say I think someone at Panini hates soccer is because the only other alternative for this kind of Kaboom design is that someone said, let's just make some changes. Let's see, let's experiment it with soccer. Soccer is not our biggest thing, even though they're losing everything else that they could have done a bit. But let's say, like, let's try it in Donruss soccer, and then maybe next year our Kabooms in basketball for the final year of basketball or whatever, if they even have a year left, we'll do it this way. But the reality is, why would you change a perfect formula? Do you know what I mean? Like, you've kind of struck gold. You can create an insert, a case hit. That one is a case hit, and it's going to have people ripping cases and wanting to break cases, which is a good thing, right?
Yep.
Two, isn't an autograph, isn't memorabilia. You do not have to rely on these players at all. You don't need to go, oh, you can't get this on card, auto. Oh, we can't get this game used bat or this game used whatever the fuck. You have designed it perfectly yourself. All you have to do is print the color gold, and you have printed a card that is worth a stupendous amount of money without needing an athlete to do shit. Why change that? It makes no sense. There's no logic to it. It's just ridiculousness. I reckon someone in Panini hates. It's probably they hate Panini, but they hate soccer. Mm. It was a disgrace, but it is what it is. I just think, the biggest issue with it is that aesthetically it looks shit. Doesn't look special. Doesn't look unique. Doesn't look like something that you want to be collecting and having, and it's paying a fortune for.
Yeah.
And ultimately it just lowers the ceiling of this. And in a year where we have Lamine Yamal and we have Endrick, and then there's Messi's in there and a slew of other really, really good players in the Kaboom checklist.
Yeah.
That is shocking. And also the images for a lot of them don't look fantastic. But I don't really care about really that. Like, poor. I care about the gold and potential green / black. But it's just like,
do you think, if, you know, because you know the promo pack or whatever they were, Neymar and Mbappe and stuff. Kabooms. Yep. Do you think the color Kabooms, do you think they see a boost off this? Do you think they're like, people are finally going to kind of recognize them and be like, oh my God, you just don't see these. Even when they did numbered Kabooms, they didn't make them full color. So imagine what these ones would be like.
I don't know. People question those ones because they didn't come out of hobby boxes. They came out of kind of promotional packs that were on Panini's website, I believe, and they were multi-sport. Would have been amazing to open them, by the way. So I don't know. I mean, in a year where the Kaboom design in NBA looks perfectly fine, apart from the kind of weird border thing that really fucks the centering a little bit, apart from that, it's why would you change it? Like, why would you do it?
This Scoot Henderson gold Kaboom, like, is so good.
Yeah, there's no, like, it's so good.
Why change this? Yeah.
Why, when it's an Mbappe, you have to change it? Why, also, like, Kaboom being written twice by itself just looks stupid as well.
Yeah.
And that's different matter, whatever. You can think whatever you want about that. But whoever kind of wanted to leave their mark from the design team completely missed the mark. If you can create a Scoot Henderson card that will sell for whatever that of 10 will sell for without needing an autograph, without needing approvals or whatever, you know, it's just ridiculousness to me and just a huge unnecessary fumble by Panini. The only thing that could justify it is if they plan to drop a different set this year that had full color Kabooms in soccer and they didn't want them to clash. Yeah. I don't see that happening. So,
no, that seems in the like a level of
optimism that
they haven't got it justified. I'm just looking at this green one of one. And again, kind of weird, slightly weird image, but yeah, the full color just looks so good. And they've spent so many years building up this Kaboom brand, and
it's so weird. Because it's like, even like last year, we had Donruss and we had Kabooms. We had it for the World Cup. We had Kabooms.
Yeah.
But we didn't have color. Like, what decision is that? Like, who decides? Let's just not make parallels. It's like, you know, the way we've designed a parallel and we do parallels, and literally it's not that crazy to add this in. Let's not do it. Like, what's that? Like, what genuinely is that? Like, psychology? Like, why? Like, I don't understand how that is. How does that even happen? Like, it doesn't make any sense. How the fuck does that happen? How do you decide? We'll put Kabooms in this soccer product, but we're not going to put any parallel Kabooms. Because what? It doesn't cost that much extra. Like, what are you talking about?
But then what's even weirder is to decide to do parallel Kabooms, but then to not make them full color. It's like, okay, so what is this? So what is this then? Like, is this just like...
I need Panini to put out a statement and they won't. You know what I mean? I'd love to even just at the National find the person who can answer this question, but they won't. And ultimately, in a week where they lost their Premier League license, it's hard to have sympathy for them.
Completely.
It's just like, okay. Completely. Congratulations. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, fuck off. Because they could have been like some of the most highly touted modern soccer cards, period. Period. Mm. And they're just like, fuck it.
Yeah, because you have like, you know, you're competing against Fanatics and like we're going to talk about Top's Finest in a few minutes, but like, you know, you have your Demand insert or your the new one, Sky's the Limit or whatever it's called. And it's like all the Top's case hits and all that stuff. And it's like, Panini could have just been sitting there all year, you know, and they're kind of like their Panini loyalists or the Panini collectors just going like, it's not a gold Kaboom. It's not a gold Kaboom. It's not a green Kaboom. It's not a black Kaboom. Looks crap.
The green / black 101 Kaboom Lamine Yamal could have been the most expensive Lamine Yamal rookie ever. Like, you know what I mean? They could have had that. Like, you send it to an auction.
The green color match, Palmeiras, Endrick Kaboom.
Yeah, but I use Lamine Yamal because I don't think Tops are going to produce Endrick cards.
That's true.
Lamine Yamal, like, by the time the year is over, you can look at that and go, look at this. The Lamine Yamal green 101 did this amount. The highest selling Super Factor Tops Chrome, whatever. Mm-hmm. Did this. Panini is clear. You know, you could do that. You had that opportunity to be like, look at that, we're class. Yeah. It's just, you're not spending a premium. You're not spending a premium on these cards. That's ultimately the thing. Like, it's hard to explain because it's still an off 10 Kaboom. It's still a little bit different, but it's like, you're not spending the same premium you would have spent if they were full color gold. That's it.
And arguably it hurts the other Kabooms.
Yeah, like because the base Kabooms.
Yeah, because now the base Kabooms are being compared to the. Now it's like, all right, well, this of 10 sold for, you know, 1500. So I'm not giving you, you know, I'm not giving
800
you
kind or of whatever
800 for the, because it's like, you know, it's not that much. It's not that, you know, yeah. Basically, the multiplying factor just breaks down completely.
If you joined the break for Endrick and then you got a gold Kaboom, it's like obviously you're delighted. You've hit a big card, no doubt about it. But it's like, it's sickening. Especially the people, again, it's funny that they broke it early because no one knew. And obviously, even if they broke it on time, no one's going to know. But it's like that first one that got hit, it's kind of like, what the fuck? I just hit one of the hardest cards to hit, period, in all of sports cards. One of the coolest cards to hit, period. Mm. And it looks like a fucking base card.
Yeah.
Oh, you'd be fuming. You'd be fuming. I don't know what they did. I don't know why they did it. It's a stupid decision. I don't know how things like this get through processing. Do you know what I mean? That's the thing that shocks me. I don't know how it wasn't like, we're going to do this. And someone goes, oh, don't do that. John, John, you go back to the drawing board there. You know, fuck off. So I don't know.
How can you not anticipate this reaction?
Why would you even, just don't tweak what fundamentally works. That's it. Like, don't do it. If Topps decided that their Topps Chrome Super Factors are going to start looking different, it's like, are you stupid? Why would you do it? We love Super Factors. We love Gold Kaboom. It's the same thing. It's just stupid. It's stupid. Makes no sense. Congratulations, Panini. Unless, but again, Donruss, one of the slickest products in terms of checklists that we've seen in a long time. It just did take a lot of the shine off it. It is kind of a weird, hard to explain how kind of.
And to be honest, like the thing is, like I was saying, like if you just decided not to do Kaboom Parallels and you released the checklist, you still get the win of, oh, look, there's a couple of international teams. There's Endrick rookies. That's class. All right, great. People are still going, oh, it's a stronger stronger Kaboom checklist than it was last year in Donruss. And this is definitely a step forward. And, you know, like, it's just self-destructive and self-defeating at a level that, like, you know, I don't know. It's almost like, are you asking to be ground into the dirt? Like, what's going on here?
Especially for a company that pretty much only has the soccer licenses left for the most part.
Yeah. Like, oh, it's just, I don't know.
But it is. It has been like kind of a negligence to engage with soccer for a long time, to be fair.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it is what it is. Disappointing. Very disappointing.
Very disappointing. Yeah, that's how I feel. Like you said, that was the consensus at the card show. And that's how I feel as well. It's just like incredible disappointment.
Yeah, for no reason.
Yeah. Because I was saying on the last episode that like, it may turn out after the kind of Fanatics monopoly is in place, or it's you know, the effective monopoly is in place. It may turn out that a single company, Fanatics in this case, doing the entire market themselves is better than having multiple companies in competition, which in theory would be healthier. And it's like, if that does turn out to be true, that is disgraceful. Like, you know,
yeah.
Are you really telling me that are you making me prefer a monopoly?
Yeah, you make me just prefer no competition.
Yeah. Listen, you know, because you wouldn't know what to do with competition if you came up and bitch in the arse, like, you know?
It just makes no sense, because it's such a beloved, like, you see historically what the sales are on a Gold Kaboom. It's like, why would you change it? That's the old, like, there's no answer. I don't want to hear, we tried to do it and, you know, it didn't really work. It didn't go as we thought it would have. Where's your little tiny focus group of just asking anybody this or this?
Mm.
This or this? Just walk around the office, this or this? And I reckon by the time you're done, you know what the fuck to do.
Yeah, it'll be completely
crazy.
Clear.
It's fucking crazy. Anyway, it's end of crazy. That. It's just stupid.
All right, so moving on to Top's Finest UCC. We have the checklist.
Which, by the way,
they
would, I would love to know the amount of money they would pay Top's Finest UCC, if you're in charge of that, to have Kabooms as case hits inside that product. Do you know what I mean? Like the Kaboom is such an ingenious success. It's the best part of Panini. That's what I think we've seen the best and worst of Panini here in one instance. Sorry.
One week.
Yeah, that's it. Go on to Finest, please.
Okay, Finest, we have some details of. It's 150 cards in the base set, 4 refractors per box, and then you have your purple, your sky blue, your blue aqua vaporwave, your purple shimmer, your blue, your ferris wheel, your green speckle, your green lava, your rose gold, your rose gold mini diamond, your orange, your red black vaporwave, your red, your purple pink vaporwave, and your superfractor, one of one, for 150 base cards. And there are all sorts of names that pop up throughout those base cards. Probably the most exciting thing, though, is moving away from the base cards and into the inserts and towards the autographs. One per box of Finest Comebacks. And then there was some controversy about Finest Comebacks immediately.
Yeah.
The
Liverpool versus AC Milan had the wrong scoreline.
Yes.
And it made me feel better, so I'm with it.
It's kind of revisionist history that you can.
It was 2-1. It was a good comeback. We got them back 2 years later with the same scoreline, and that's it. I think it was 2-0.
And that's what happened. Wow, interesting. I never knew that.
Yeah, that's all. People make a big deal of it because it was Liverpool. Yeah, that's it.
Right.
Oh, the miracle in Istanbul, Liverpool won a game. That's what they say, but that's...
Right.
That's how that history... As far as I'm concerned, everyone, don't text in and
don't
get
look
angry
that up
me.
On YouTube.
Don't look it up. Don't say, Enzo, you're a AC Milan fan, Liverpool, Steven Gerrard. I don't want to hear it. That's what happened as far as I'm concerned.
All right. So obviously, AC Milan have infiltrated... Tops at the highest level.
Yeah, thank God. About time.
First-class rookies, 10 on this checklist, 2 per box. Those first-class rookies are Lamine Yamal, Julian Duranville, Oscar Glock, Nico Paz, Ben Doak, Anthony Milambo, Lewis Miley, Isaac Babadi, Bradley Barcola, and Omari Forson for Manchester United there at the end. This is kind of like that. What's that one from Donruss Craftsman, is it?
Yeah, I think so.
looks pretty similar to that. Finest Idols, which you were skeptical of and got corrected on to not to be skeptical of because they're lovely in person.
Yeah, I don't know if I was, yeah, people, I said they're not for me, and they're still not for me, by the way.
My God, he stands over it, people.
But I will say, they're a good hit. You know, they're trying to build it out. Like, they're trying to make, I don't want to call it Kaboom, because it's not that, as much as that Full Gold looks so, so good, but it is.
Yeah.
Like, again, Tops are trying to find that, they're trying to find that magic in the bottle that Panini have with Kaboom and whatever. But because also, we didn't talk on Donruss. They changed Night Moves and it looked shite this year, which actually was a good one last year.
Good Lord.
I don't know if you've seen that. They made Night Moves bad. Again, I think the golds are super, super rare here. I like that there's a big checklist of them. I think MLS just had Messi.
Nine of these.
Don't know for me. I don't know if they're cards that are printed like that or if they're a little bit metal to them. I've never seen one in hand, so maybe that would change my opinion, Jason. But definitely an addition, I'll say that.
Okay. Prize footballers, 20 cards, 4 per box, with different parallels as well. Prize footballers back. Thoughts on the prize footballers design this year?
It's okay.
Okay, yeah, that's how I feel as well.
There's always a lot happening with it. There is, like, it's so funny. The fusions always look good. It's so funny. They always, like, the fusion, it, like, tapers over the bad part of the design all the time.
Yes.
Like, why does the design have a bad part that needs tapering over?
It's always like, oh, look at that. That's kind of very busy. And then the fusion comes in and you're like, oh, that's nice.
Yeah. To be honest.
Yeah.
I think I've said this every year that they've had this. I want the fusion to not say prized footballers.
What do you want it to say?
Like, I don't want it to say that, is what I'm saying. I want that gone as well. Like, I think that's the worst part of the aesthetic of that card is the big prized footballer text.
Right, and would you take away prized footballers up here as well?
Potentially, probably not. Probably not. Prized footballer, and then if it's a fusion. Like, I think the fusion, here's my controversial opinion, Jason.
Yeah, here's the hot take, everyone.
I think the fusion is kind of one of the closest things they could get to a Kaboom in this moment in time. If you had a slick looking card that had that, because the fusion design in the background always looks class.
Yeah.
Adds a lot
to it. They get a really nice texture to it. It looks really good.
Yeah, it looks brilliant. Like, if you could make that just look a bit better, meaning get rid of prize footballer and maybe changing the color of the background as well. Like, if you had like a full color, kind of the way you're talking about, like 2017 chrome or whatever, full color, but with then the fusion kind of striking through it. Like, I think there's a way to make that look super, super luxurious. At the moment, they're very much a niche chase. Like, the people that know and they chase it and they really, really, really like it. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people just kind of ignore it.
Right. Yeah, I agree. They are a case hit, and there are 20 of them. Two grail cards in this product. Real Madrid Cristiano and one Juventus Cristiano.
I like that they tell us. I don't love that they show the image. I'd like no images, but I like that they say there's a Ronaldo and this is the club. I like that. Yeah. Breaks.
This actually says, I think, in German, the breakdown of where the grail are. So cards 1 and 8 in 23-24 Merlin. Card 3 in Stadium Club, card 4 and 7 in Topps Chrome, card 6 in Flagship, and 9 in Museum, and then 2 and 5 here. That's according to this website, which is collectosk.com.
Okay.
So who knows?
I always find the checklist distribution to be the most fascinating part of this industry.
Yeah, who gets the checklist and why?
Yeah, why, how, and who?
Yeah.
Why can't we ever get it? Why can't we ever break a checklist live? Why can't we go, we're the boy, they give it to us as the soccer number one soccer card podcast. Here's what's coming out in museum. Get excited and we can be giddy about it. That'd be brilliant. But yeah, we don't have that kind of pull, Jason. We don't have the pull of the collect kiosk.
No.
Because you're not following people back on Twitter.
Top of the world.
Don't like it.
Not a fan of that?
Once again, and it looks somewhat similar to the Giants or whatever they had in the Euro Finest.
Yes.
Don't like it. And I don't even want to hate on it because it's hard to create. I don't know, that's too provocative, so it's just an insert, but like, it's hard to create nice inserts and nice case hits. Like, it's definitely a sweet science, but yeah, I think that looks terrible. Why is that funny?
Because you said, I don't want to hate, but I think it looks terrible.
Yeah, but like,
what else would hate it be?
I'm just trying to say, like, Kaboom's like, I feel like if Kabooms were introduced today, people might look at it and go, that looks ridiculous. Do you know what I mean? So there's a bit of like heritage to it or whatever. So I don't want to be hating. But like...
Because you recognize that Kabooms and other things like that are not actually... People, and you're not looking at a new Kaboom and judging it on just the card in front of you. You're judging on the heritage of the card.
Yeah, like the Pristine Borders was a new edition, looked brilliant. And they've kind of done that a little bit in terms of they had like nation flags and some other sets and stuff like that. I can't remember what they call it, flags of a nation or whatever. So like, I'm not against just because it's new, but yes, like it's a sweet sign. Some of them, and maybe someone else looks at the top of the world and go, that's unbelievable. I love it. But I just don't think that's the case, is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm also saying I'm not a designer, so I don't want to fully hate.
No, it's a sweet sign. You're not saying
Hidden Gems is incredible. But I think they've had that for many, I don't know how long, but they've definitely had it for a while.
Yeah.
Baseball.
So on all of these inserts, do you like the man?
Not really, but that's a heritage to it. I'm not a fan.
So all these inserts, you like the Grail?
I like the Grail.
And you like?
Love the Fusion.
I'd make
alterations to the Fusion, but I love the Fusion. The texture of the smoke or whatever the hell in the background is brilliant. Idols is not for me. And that's it, yeah.
First class rookies?
No, not at all. That's terrible.
All right. So they're like 1.5 for 6 here on their insert.
But to each their own. Like, yeah.
To each their own, yeah. At least it's not serial time or whatever that's called.
Crunch time. Yeah, awful. Awful.
Crunch time, yeah.
Catchy and memorable name, but awful.
Yeah.
But Jason, I don't see you giving me your opinion. You're staying on the ledge here. You're not podding today.
Mostly, which one do you like? Mostly inserts aren't really for me.
Okay.
I'm just not, I don't really.
You like beautiful action shots?
Kind of, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You don't like the kind of overly photoshopped kind of vibes?
No, like overly designed stuff is not really my cup of tea. I kind of just like, you know, your like Stadium Club is probably my favorite set. So,
okay. Take from that what you, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, on to the base autographs. 90 cards on the auto checklist. So let's skip down a little bit and get to these jewel autos and a couple other things. So, finest jewel autographs, 13 cards. We love a jewel autograph. We love to try and figure out the logic behind a jewel autograph. And let's see if we can do that with these ones. Starting off with Gareth Bale and Karim Benzema. We get
thumbs
that
up. I like it. I respect it.
2/3 of Bale, Cristiano, Benzema. Lovely. Won everything together at Real Madrid. Didier Drogba, Samuel Eto'o,
Olympique de Marseille.
Yeah, I didn't even know Eto'o played for Marseille.
Do you know, I hesitated on Eto'o playing for Marseille, so I'm just going to verify it just so as I'm not.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure he did, because I feel like I've seen... Have I seen that in the past? Let me see. I don't see
I'm
it.
I'm not seeing it.
It may
just be like Didier Drogba's in the Marseille kit.
Yeah. Eto'o, did he even play in France at all? He could be like an Inter kit or something.
Yeah.
I'm glad that that kind of threw us both for a loop a little bit.
Yeah.
But that's wonderful.
Okay. So then Samuel Eto'o, Javier Zanetti, both in Inter kit. That makes perfect sense.
I'm a bit scared now of that Samuel Eto'o, but we continue.
They could both be in Chelsea kits. Didn't Samuel Eto'o play for Chelsea for a season or something like that towards the end?
Yes.
Okay, so
yeah, we'll see.
Who cares? Yeah. Samuel Eto'o, Javier Zanetti for Inter. That's one for the Inter fans. Kyogo and Daizen Maeda for Celtic and Japan collectors. Nice.
They're very happy with that, yeah.
Oscar Glock, Karim Konate for FC Salzburg. Oscar Glock, highly touted rookie. Karim Konate is putting up Erling Haaland style numbers for Salzburg recently, as far as I know.
Okay.
So we'll see, you know, is he an Erling Haaland? Is he a Patson Daka? Who is he? What is he? You know?
Yeah, what's he up to?
Giggsy and Scalzi for Manchester United. That's a big
easy
one.
Yeah, that's easy. Yeah, that's a good one.
Nice. Stevie G and Fernando Torres for Liverpool. Classic.
Classic. Absolute classic.
Yeah, brilliant. Now I like this one. Luka Modric, Jude Bellingham for Real Madrid.
I love it.
Sort of a passing of the baton card, you might call that.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Yeah. You could do a lot with obviously Bellingham. You could mix him in with Zidane and stuff like that. But I think Modric Bellingham is a really nice,
is a nice,
really nice combo. Yeah.
For Feyenoord, you have Anthony Milambo and Yacouba Minté. I believe Minté is a Newcastle loanee playing well at Feyenoord this season. That's kind of two rookies. That'd be interesting to see. You know, that's one of those 5-year cards where you go, what's this dual auto with Minte on it? It's got a Malambo on it as well. Interesting. Whatever happened to him? He plays in Turkey now. Oh. Here's one for FC Barcelona, Luis Suarez and Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
Two absolute sharpshooters up front. Obviously, Zlatan didn't have the greatest time in Barcelona, but yeah, I like it.
Yep. Xavi Iniesta for FC Barcelona.
Classic.
Lovely. Lamine Yamal and Fermín López for FC Barcelona. Two of their top rookies.
Yep, you cannot hate that.
And then Theo Zidane, and Zinedine Zidane for Real Madrid. So father and son.
I love that as well.
Yeah. That's quite nice. You don't get a bit of
a LeBron James Bronny going on there.
Yes, very much so. I think as well as, you know, in card terms and in player terms.
There you go.
Your finest first class rookies. So first class was the kind of craftsman style thing we saw.
Okay.
Ben Doak, Babadi, Lamine Yamal, Omari Forson, and Oscar Glock. So we saw them.
That's fascinating, though, Jason, just to hold it for a second, because there's five cards. There's only red and there's 101 super factor. So like they've made that really short print as parallel.
As parallels, yeah. You won't be getting off 99s and all of them.
That's what I'm saying. So like I like that, but it's like it needs to be on a top design, and then you have yourself a really good chase.
Then this one's interesting. This is a finest first class rookies yearbook autograph.
Okay.
So I imagine this is a booklet.
Definitely. Yeah.
And you have all of your first class rookies. So Lamal, Durinville, Glock, Paz, Ben Doak, Malambo, Lewis Miley, Isaac Babadi, Barcola, and Forson all in a rookies yearbook. That's an interesting concept. I'll go along with that.
Yeah, that's fine. Nothing wrong with it. I think it's we've kind of seen similar to that, I think, in baseball and stuff. Yeah, I think it's a cool card to throw together. I think it rarely works out, if you know what I mean. Like, it's never
Yeah.
The Jude class, though, they could have, like, obviously there's a lot of people they could have put in there that would have flopped it, but, like, the Jude class could have had a good 6, 7, 8 people on one card that works out. So,
yeah, that's true.
There's nothing to say. Like, why not have something like that every year, and maybe 1 year it works out and it's class and whatever, you know?
Yeah, I think if you're happy enough to go with a class yearbook, you might as well whip one up, you know, just see.
Like, imagine the Jude class, Pedri, Camavinga, Jude, Musiala, like, all that would have been brilliant. Obviously, they weren't all signing, but there you go.
But now, more or less, they are all signing in their first seasons, or most of them are. Now, you have the finest rivals dual autographs. So on the dual autographs, it was the same club on every card.
That makes Yeto look a bit Marseille, questionable.
Who knows?
I feel like he played for Marseille. Like,
he didn't.
But like, did he coach or something, or did he?
Did they both play in Turkey at a certain point? They definitely did both play in Turkey separately.
Yeah, like, Galatasaray and your man was in. He was in Turkey for a while. Chelsea is the only team that they've both played for.
Yes,
seemingly.
Yeah.
But do you think there's a chance like they have him accidentally in a Sampdoria kit or something, and they have it down as Marseille? No,
I'm not sure. I'm not sure what the story is.
Sure. We digress.
We digress. We'll have to see. Keep us posted on that one if you see it out in the wild. Okay.
I was trying to think like if Eto was there by mistake, and it could be like a Aubameyang or something. Because like if you look at Eto, he's right next to it. So did that Eto kind of slip in there by accident? You know, I'm trying to think of other Marseille strikers. But yeah, we won't.
Chris Waddle.
There you go. Here, we'll see. If it pops out and Eto's randomly in a Marseille kit or something crazy like that.
That's going to be strange.
Yeah, but I think it's fine. I think this, the collector kiosk Toxka doesn't have the most accurate information, maybe.
Well, this looks like a pretty standard.
No, I'm joking. It's definitely the right checklist. But
because the last time Pat's pulls caught astray, the last time it turned out to be perfectly accurate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
All right, finest rivals. So this is slightly different. This is rival, as it says. Starting off with the picture here of Messi Ronaldo. How you like that design? Kind of like a Mortal Kombat or a Tekken or something.
I don't love it. Yeah, it is that kind of vibe. But I, to be honest, if you're going to throw together a dual Messi Ronaldo dual autograph, and we're always talking about if you do that enough times, you're devaluing it. If you make one that kind of looks like this, it's not going to be in everyone's taste and probably won't have as much a premium as a different one would.
The other people that complete that, by the way, they're gold, orange wave, red.
What do you think
red,
of it? Stop putting me on the spot.
Huh?
Pissing off. You're making me piss off all the graphic designers, and you're just going right. And then there's goals, and there's, you know.
Sorry. What do I think of it? Let me look at it for a second. I think it looks good.
Looks match attacky, yeah. I think. I'm not in a bad way.
I'm trying to imagine my ideal Messi Ronaldo dual auto. Yeah. I think it's good. I think it's okay. Good. It's obviously, like, it's versus, we've seen like kind of rival autographs before. We've seen all sorts of designs for that kind of stuff. You kind of just pick a theme, you go like, all right, this is kind of going to be like a video game kind of like situation, and just crack on with it. Yeah. It's always hard to mix like real life photos with
design,
a graphic design concept.
You know what's interesting that I'd actually like to point out, and you might control F here, Jason, just to verify for myself. I feel like we're not seeing Ronaldinho autographs anymore on checklists.
Oh, let me go up here and see if I can find them.
You might need to go just to autographs, yeah. Even if you can control F and see if you can find it.
This is alphabetically ordered, thanks to Kiosk or whatever it is. Rasmus Højlund, Rico Lewis, Chadi Riyad, Randall Colomwani, Rafael Ronaldo, Ricardo Pepi, and Robert Lewandowski.
Obviously, like, they were one of the few kind of redemptions that popped up last year in... So we have 10 years to track down Ronaldinho, but it seems like they haven't got to grips with Ronaldinho as of yet.
Mm.
That's probably why he's not featuring in these checklists.
Interesting. I also noticed there that Vitor Roque has autographs for Barcelona, and Xavi said yesterday after 5 months they're going to send him out of the club, even though he's only played a few minutes and done reasonably well. I think Xavi might be a bit loop-de-loop, but anyway. Pep Guardiola, Jose Mourinho versus autograph. That's cool.
Brilliant. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Nemanja Vidic, Fernando Torres. That's a real Premier League years.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. I'm not sure I can imagine Vidic and Torres. To me, Vidic is slightly later, but he's not.
No, same time. They were battling it out all the time. But Torres always had his number, I believe.
Yes. I'm picturing scenes there from the Fernando Torres documentary.
Yeah, I'm picturing scenes of Vidic falling over as Torres skips by him.
That's right. Very good. And then, sorry, coming on to this one, you have Real Madrid and Inter for Zinedine Zidane and Marco Materazzi. Enzo, explain to the people at home what this card is.
I don't know how they got this approved. I don't know how they snuck this one across the line. I don't know what the hell happened, but yeah. Marco Materazzi, of course, an Inter centre-back and most well-known for his 2006 World Cup appearance when he stepped in for, I believe, was it Nesta?
That sounds right.
I think Nesta got injured. I think Nesta got injured at the start of the tournament. He came in as a centre-back, had a huge impact, scored a couple goals, and most importantly, scored the equaliser in the final, by the way, against Zidane scored a penalty in the final to put France up, and then Marco Materazzi scored an equalizer off the corner of Andrea Pirlo. This entire tournament is etched into my soul. But towards extra time, Marco Materazzi said some foul shit to Zinedine Zidane, which resulted in the very infamous Zidane headbutt, getting sent off a red card in the World Cup final and his last ever professional game. Italy, of course, went on to win the World Cup because we are the best. So yeah, to put that on a card is crazy.
Yeah. That's crazy. I don't know how you got that. How they got that approved? That's mental.
Yeah, it makes more sense in the national kits, obviously, and obviously it's easier to get done in club kits, and obviously the national kits didn't have the license for either of those teams, so it wouldn't have been as great if they did it there. So yeah, I like it, but it's crazy.
That's true. If you are going to get it approved, you have to sneak it through the club, give the kind of back door through the clubs.
Yeah,
because you would never obviously then that the.
I don't know if they have any sort of a rivalry at club level. If you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Have they ever actually played against each other? Has, like, Real Madrid against Inter? Right. Was he playing? I don't know. I don't know what to be the case. Probably they have. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there you go. I hope there's not some other, like, long-standing rivalry and everyone just assumes it's the headbutt. Like, I hope there isn't, like, this big, do you remember this battle at San Siro or anything like that? But I don't think there was.
I don't think so. I mean, maybe when Zidane played for Juventus, they might have known each other.
Who knows? That's how Materazzi knew all that about his family.
Exactly, yeah. So he knew all that true stuff about his family. All right, Mark of Excellence autographs. These are on-card autographs, and we've seen some images of the Jude. It's Camavinga, Jude Bellingham, Kenny Dalglish, and Ronaldo, the real Ronaldo for Inter.
I like it.
Cool to have an on-card autograph chase, I think.
Yeah, I think people are saying it looks like a bit of a continuity one, meaning like it looks like it could pop up in other sets, like the same card design.
Yeah, it doesn't say finest on it. Anything, yeah.
Yeah, no, I like that a lot. And we're seeing obviously in the background of all this, Jason, we know Topps Dynasty is being put together.
Yep.
That's why we're seeing so many more on-card autographs. I love that they're kind of, while they're getting maybe the sticker sign and while they're getting obviously Dynasty sign, they are taking their opportunity and taking their chance to try get some kind of normal cards signed as well to just increase the amount of on-card autographs we're seeing in soccer. I love that for sure. That's a big win.
That's a big win. Yeah, very, very good. And then you have your prize footballers, your The Man and your Top of the World insert autographs as well. So I actually think that's an incredibly strong checklist.
Yeah, new format of Finest, of course. So we're going to have to wait and see how that looks.
Yeah, no mini boxes.
No mini boxes, just a straight shootout with a hobby box style. I'm interested to see how the cases look, because obviously they kept it with eight, even though it's kind of hobby style set like Merlin or something, it's still eight per case. So I'm excited to see the dimensions of that cardboard box, Jason. That's what I'm interested.
Certainly. I mean, and I'm sure the people at home are at the edge of their seats wondering what the cardboard box could look like as well. So yeah, that's not even the last product we have to talk about on the show today.
I'm shocked that this last product has snuck out on the same day, because it really has got no airtime, if you will.
Yeah, yeah.
At all. I thought you were talking about La Liga Select. What?
No, we already did La Liga Select last week.
Yeah, but I thought you were trying to, because they're all releasing tomorrow.
No.
That's what I meant. Like, no one's really talking about La Liga Select apart from saying, I think that's out on the same day. I'm not sure if it is, but I think it is. But like La Liga Select, putting that out on the same day as Donruss, I think that's like a classic. They're like, it's the FIFA license, the La Liga license. These are two different demographics. And it's like, they're really not.
No, they're really not. And, but like, I remember when we were looking at the checklist for the La Liga Select on the show, and it was like, what's in here? A few Lamine Yamal rookies, a couple of patches, nice. It's not really a hype product, I don't think, in any way.
That's true. But like, you'd imagine they're some of the more sought after Lamine Yamal rookies, like a Select Black, you know, whatever. Yeah. But sure,
who even knows?
Because it's hard to know.
Yeah, I mean, especially because it's like now he's gonna have super factors as well and all that.
He's gonna have fucking super factors in the national kit. Like, you can't really beat that, I don't think. But at the same time, Soccer America hasn't really decided. Like, you look at Haaland and the Bundesliga Chrome. It's all about that, and Champions League doesn't matter. Like, you'd wonder if he had a Norway kit super factor from his rookie year, would that matter more or not? Like, it's hard to know. We're all still learning, Jason.
We're learning every week, twice a week on Soccer Cards United, Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Speaking of national kits, Jason, lay the lowdown on this product.
Yeah, so Jose Mourinho is back at Topps in his role as the Euro license ambassador for his second ever platinum set. And this time it's for Euro 2024.
He might be the only person to get two platinum sets, which is his special nature.
Exactly, yeah. The box says, I am Jose Mourinho.
Love it.
And is listed as a Topps ambassador as well in the box. Very nice box design, I think.
It gives me Euro vibes, like the tournament is coming. This is what I look at that and I go, oh my God, it's almost an international tournament.
Yep. This was released through Topps Europe through their equal raffle, you know, run fair type system.
EQL.
There's some images starting to come through there. Obviously for the listeners, you can't see them. Nice Jose pictures. This is a memorable moments insert with Cristiano. And so how do you feel about this as a notorious Panini instant?
I own a BGS 9.5 of this card without an autograph from the time, Jason, from the time. Mm-hmm. I wish it was a PSA then, because BGS fell off a cliff. But it hurts me a little bit. Hurts me a little bit just because it shows me that like Messi's going to have more autographs holding that FIFA World Cup trophy.
Oh yeah,
so you know what I mean. So it's like, I do like it. I like that it says memorable moment. So it is kind of clear that this is not from the time. It is, you know, post. I don't want to say it's post event. People are kind of crying out for cool images like this. I do like it. I do like.
It's funny to mention actually. Just now that you bring that up, like if Topps were to take the World Cup license, then presumably the first World Cup set they make there'll be a card like this of Messi holding, because they're all of a sudden they're the licensee, so they get to use all the images and all. I never thought about that. That's slightly
unnerving.
Slightly unnerving, yeah.
But I get, that's it. It's one of the more iconic images in football. So like, I don't hate it. The fact that it says memorable moments and it's clearly kind of a throwback thing, it's fine. Uneducated people could come in thinking that this is something from the tournament or whatever, but that's not the case. You know, like you're seeing a different logo or whatever. So yeah, I think I like it. People are complaining that they don't put stuff like that in Chrome sets. So I think that's a fair complaint, maybe.
Mm.
But then like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, who knows?
Catch 22.
It does obviously seem like this is a slightly licensing issue, team licensing issues aside. It seems like Euro products are slightly more kind of self-contained. You can probably do more interesting stuff because you just have the one, you know. Van Basten there with a spectacular volley in the final. There's a Lamine Yamal, one of one from the Jose set. Yeah. Figo Ronaldo dual autograph, Portugal.
That looks great, barring the kind of Steve Aoki style.
Neon lights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's is that like a head nod to a Steve Aoki Euro set? I hope not.
I don't know. Are they teasing an Aoki return to the Euros?
Oh, goodness. Comes out like Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah.
He sets the final.
Oh my God, that's Steve Aoki's music. Henri Zidane, white t-shirt, dual auto.
Yeah, that's so upsetting because if that was license, it's an unbelievable card, especially the French kit looks so beautiful all the time. Mm. So that's kind of like, I mean, if you look at the dual auto of the two Portuguese boys, it's brilliant.
Yeah.
And you look at that, it's upsetting. But like, if you've seen that on a checklist and licensing wasn't a thing, you'd be like, oh, what a card. What a card, you know?
Yeah, very good.
That's a much better way of doing it.
Much better. Put the autograph across where the logos and stuff would be on the jersey for just Jude Bellingham starting 11. Autograph. Some slightly kind of deco elements, I would say, in this.
To the framing and stuff, yeah.
To the framing and stuff like that, yeah. There's John Terry. That's, I would say, that's not the best card they've ever produced.
Yeah, no, that's a low, low tier.
That's rough. That's because you can kind of see the photo, you can kind of see the lines of the Photoshop there. But, you know. Oof. If you're an England fan, you'd kind of be going, why are we in blue?
Yeah, why are they constantly in blue? That doesn't really make sense.
Yeah, yeah. That is slightly strange.
But also, like, they've done such a good job, sorry, Jason, with the Victor Wembanyama and the kind of top scoring basketball they're planning to put out. Like, I don't see why there's no kind of side shots in the same way. But yeah.
That's true. I wonder, actually, because there is a kind of thing of, like, none of the teams have their iconic color on.
Yeah, there's definitely something to it. Like, maybe it really cannot represent it, you know, it cannot be assumed to be or whatever. Like, yeah, look, the licensing thing is a huge problem. It's not Topps' fault, clearly, because if they could use the licenses, they would have. There's some blockage there, which is super, super disappointing from a collector's point of view, from the quality of the product point of view. I wish we'd seen it a little bit more reflected in the price of products. This price was perfectly fine at £100. But like you see Pristine and stuff like that, you kind of wish it was reflected, because if you hit that dual auto Zidane Henri 101, it would have been worth more if they were licensed. Therefore, the value of the contents are lower, so I think the box price should follow that.
That's right.
But look, I think we just have to accept it for this Euros. We're going to have those sad omissions. Obviously, no Mbappe popping up on any checklist either, stuff like that. I hold out hope that maybe the actual tournament itself, they can use the licenses, but I don't think so.
Yeah. Although we did do it, was it, am I right in saying we didn't see Bellingham on the finest checklist and then he turns up here now?
I'm not sure.
No Mbappe and no Bellingham on the, or was it no Mbappe, no Saka? I can't remember.
Saka definitely wasn't there.
The memorable moments autograph cards are Van Basten, Ronaldo, Davor Zucker, Fernando Torres, and David Trezeguet. Four of the five of them will be licensed. I guess Trezeguet won't be.
Yeah.
I think dual autograph Iniesta, Pedri, Zidane, Henri, Ronaldo, Figo.
That's such a fascinating one though, because like obviously if you have the autographs, you make that Zidane Henri, but then if you don't have the licenses, there's a decision to make. Do we make it, do we not? If I was creating this thing, I'd be trying to not use the unlicensed players as much as possible.
Yeah.
You know, like, would you stick Lamine Yamal in there with someone else and just make that a dual auto because you have the Spanish, you know? And obviously, it's like, but if I throw in a Zidane, Henri, like, that's just fun to do. It's good. We can do it. You know, get it off.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's such a... I'd say they're definitely in a difficult position putting together these checklists. But yeah, it is like, ultimately, we're the ones kind of suffering.
From the last Euros, just to give you an idea of something here.
You're going to show...
last Euros.
Okay, yeah.
This 2020 Panini Select dual auto. We didn't have Panini at the title, whatever. It's an auction, you know. But this is a dual auto of Ronaldo and Figo. So it's Ronaldo Figo is a rich vein that these companies are eager to keep mining, no matter who has the license.
Yeah, I thought you were about to show me the checklist of Select Euro to kind of go like, and here in 2020, Panini had the licenses and didn't put together a good checklist.
Yeah, I mean, that would have been a good exercise. But that's true. It goes back to this whole thing of like Panini just repeatedly shooting themselves in the foot. Like I was talking on Sports Card Nonsense yesterday about the Premier League license and how like there are some people that are defending Panini and already wishing that they had the license back and all this stuff and, you know, worrying what Fernandes is going to do the Premier League license. But it's like, I don't know if I know anyone. Everyone kind of agrees the 2019-20 Prism is a great set. Looks class, you know, is desirable the whole lot.
That's just
beyond that, I don't know if they built any kind of it's not really a loyal following of Premier League Prism going around talking to people. Like, I don't meet many people who are like, yeah, you might think it's Premier League Prism or Premier League Mosaic or Premier League Select. So it's like, if you've had the license for 5 years and you haven't really managed to build up any
brand power,
I mean, then you're just asking to lose it. It's tough.
That's fair. That is fair. Like, I'm not mourning the loss of that EPL license. I'm concerned about maybe did Fanatics overpay for it. That's something that I have heard whispers of, that they just properly outpaid it. And that could then be reflected in what happens next year, potentially, whether it's print runner prices or number of SKUs. But yeah, I'm more excited to see what Topps can do with the license versus mourning what Panini are not going to do, because I'm not particularly, beyond Premier League Select, even Impeccable, Immaculate, I don't care for at all, really.
Yeah.
And Prism was never fantastic either.
For Premier League. Tough. And just when you're asked about the Select and comparing those checklists, it's like, I'm sure Topps would be quite happy to stand over and say, yeah, look what we did without the licenses. Now compare that to, you know, now tell me, now look at the price points and, you know, still. So like, it's interesting. And you feel like, Enzo, you can't help but feel like this Euro 2024 card saga isn't over yet.
You know, it's interesting because, surprisingly enough, the 2024 Euro, I know you were kind of, you weren't expecting me to roll with you here, but to be honest, it has actually dragged in Europe. You know, it's dragged in Europe, but it's dragged in like the general, like, it's kind of dragged in a lot of the people that we're kind of hoping discover the hobby, if that makes sense. So many people that are like paying attention, like there's people that are like, so Fanatics own the stickers now. Who are Fanatics? What happened? Michael Rubin, what's this? Fanatics are taking over Premier League, Adrenaline XL. What do you mean? You know, and it's like, it's kind of, there's so much outrage and so much carnage going on, and almost to a point where the non-licensing thing is causing a bigger outrage and a bigger story. And it's kind of like, is this what's going to get us the mass consciousness over here in Europe and the UK?
Yeah.
You know, all of the content creators, all of the work, all of the growth, all of everything. And it's like, is it these unlicensed kits and these sticker albums and these match attacks that are actually about to make everyone go, what's happening cards over here? Potentially. That's what I, you know,
it's there's nothing like a bit of controversy.
And a global tournament, you know, like the Euros, like people love it. It's nations, it's everything.
Makes you wonder what happened if Fanatics went for the World Cup. Be like this on steroids.
Yeah, people are like, you know, Panini losing the Premier League. If Panini lose FIFA or the World Cup, or obviously I assume that they're attached, if they lose that World Cup license, that's when it's kind of like you're gone. And I believe they have it till 2030. But then again, if you look at, I think Fanatics are well used to getting people to terminate contracts early.
Yeah.
Or finding ways to point out breaches of contract, etc. But FIFA are about as corrupt as it gets.
Yeah.
Are they too corrupt to be bought out a license by Fanatics or not? I don't know. God knows what Panini are doing to keep those licenses.
Yeah, but the question is, do Fanatics have bigger brown envelopes?
Don't know. Do FIFA even care about brown envelopes? Is there other things that they can be offered?
are there intangibles?
Yeah, like you go to Italy, you get a nice margherita pizza and it's, you know, you're safe there in Sicily.
That's right.
You're protected.
this all might go quite dark by the end. Well, I for one cannot wait for Thursday's show, because this has just been a blockbuster week and it doesn't show any signs of slowing down.
Yeah, no, I mean, we're getting close. Also, I'm not going to yap about football, Jason, but we're getting close to the Europa League final here in Dublin, by the way.
Here in Dublin, Ireland, yeah.
It's in our city, and we're talking about the record-breaking undefeated team. Leverkusen are going to be here. They might complete a completely undefeated season. They have 3 games left to do it.
I saw that, just speaking of Leverkusen, what's the company called? Ultimate Drops. Who did that thing with Barcelona and Xavi and all that stuff.
I tried my best to remember their name at the London Card Show. I couldn't do it. I was trying to tell someone about them and I was like, oh, the thing with Xavi. I don't know what they're called.
They're doing a Leverkusen set.
Beautiful. That's a nimble company.
Yeah, nimble move, I thought.
Respect. I mean, somebody, if they stay unbeaten, they've done... I know, they've already broke a record, so you don't really have to say anything. Just winning the Bundesliga would have been enough, to be fair.
Yeah.
But, three more games.
Historic.
Like, it's already, with the 50-game unbeaten run, it's already absolute history, you know, in global football. But they could really tie it off with 3 trophies and no losses. Would be unbelievable.
It's almost, I find, talking about the Bayer Leverkusen thing, it's almost, like, the scale of the achievement is too big to, like,
digest.
I feel like we need to just, the season needs to be over, and then we need to have some time and, like, look back at what happened. Because it's, like, at the moment, it's just this kind of, like, massive historical thing going on. And it's like, that can't be true. Because, like, surely if it was, it used to kind of records being like back in the mist of time. And it's like, you know, imagine being alive when Dixie Dean was scoring. You know? It feels a bit like that, I think.
Oh, Dixie Dean's daughter is going to drag you.
No.
Or granddaughter. Yeah, it always happens.
No. All right.
It does. It always happens.
Yeah. Okay, listen, that's Tuesday Stock Car tonight. We're back for episode 224 on Thursday. Hope everyone has a great week. Send us in any of your thoughts and comments and opinions on anything you heard today, corrections, etc. And we'll update them as we go. And if we're not following you on Twitter and you really think we should be, please keep that to yourself.
Oh.
You've opened a Pandora's box here.
I'm sorry, Jason. I'm sorry. I thought you were signing off now. You didn't talk about the cards being put in players' backsides.
Oh, God, yeah. We'll have to talk about players' backsides on Thursday.
Ah, as ever.
All right. See ya.